So you want to go back to, here we go back to the press room. So we're standing there waiting in the press room, and people are leaving and they're coming and going, and, you know, the new shift's coming in to get their deal. And every time a press person would leave, they'd all rally for their place. So people weren't really standing on their marks. They were on other people's marks. So you might have thought you were talking to the Hollywood Reporter, and it could have been, you know, Blogs R Us or something. So then it was interesting because I put in for my submission on Monday, got it Monday evening, and headed on out to L.A. and didn't know I got accepted for the press till, because I don't take my internet stuff with me like all you guys do with cell phones and all this. I just have a cell phone. I don't text. I can't see the text, and I don't take my computer with me. So I'm offline. Everybody has to catch me by cell phone. So when I got there, I found out through a guy that's working with me on another project at the Paley Center that we were accepted in the media department, and get my butt over there. So I'm trying to find Cheryl in the line to tell her, hey, look, we don't have any questions. If we even could possibly get to Stana or anybody, we don't have any questions. And people are like, well, you can do it off the top of your head. And I said, yes, but you got to have some kind of coherency. You just can't get in there and go, boo, because, you know, we don't know. Can we ask spoilers? Usually they give you a tip sheet, you know, don't ask this, don't ask that, don't ask them about this personal life or whatever. So I had a few questions in my head. I didn't get to say anything. It was just more of a hi, bye, how are you, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
so,
we each had a couple of questions, and we were going to do, like, back and forth, but we barely got one in, so.
And then we met a lot of fans outside, and I felt really bad because you're trying to talk to them, and you're running off to do something, and everybody's separated and segregated into lines, because if you're a guest with a member, you're in this line, and they're stamping your hands. And then if you're general public, you're in this line. If you had, you guys had the package deals, the lanyards, so you're over on the other side of the place.
And
you can't really talk to each other, and then you're afraid to lose your place. And but, you know, we ran around. There was filming outside in Hollywood during those 2 days, and we went to see, I never say the name right, what's the name of that lady that Angie Harmon's in? What is that?
Rizzoli and Isles.
Right. We went looking for that because Mary and Beth liked that show, and they were on their lunch hour, so that was a bust. And we were taking Emily around to show her, you know, Hollywood. There's, like, you know, bars on the windows and bullets, you know, graffiti and everything. So then we went around. They were on lunch. We were just going to see if we could see anything of them filming because they liked that show. So then we drove clear across L.A., way down somewhere. It was 2 hours in a car, and it was so hot that day. It was very windy, and it was like 80-something degrees, and we were in a car with no tinted windows. So Emily and I were just sweating bullets, and we found Bones. But Bones was on lunch, so we said, forget this. Let's go to Farmer's Market. And we went there, and they saw Jane Curtin walking around. I didn't know who she was, Jane Curtin. She was there in Farmer's Market, and we had sandwiches there that were horrible. And somebody had pizza. Their pizza was good, but my sandwich was bleh. And it was like $15 for this horrible sandwich. But
on Saturday, I went to some places, too. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Yeah, you went and did the castle tour, right?
Yeah, one of the ladies, a group of friends that I have, she lives in Los Angeles, and she knew where almost a whole ton of things were filmed, locations. And we went into this one hotel, Cecil Hotel, and we're sitting there, and I kept saying, isn't this where they filmed, you know, this one scene where, you know, Beckett's saying, are you coming, you know, and she says, I'm going to kill you, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh,
anyway,
inside the hotel for When the Bow Breaks.
Yes.
Season 2, episode 5.
I kept saying, this is it. And they're like, no, it's not the place. I'm like, yes, it is. So I whipped out my iPad, too, and I bring up the video, and there it is, clear as day. They put plants around. I'm like, yes, it is. Me and this other one of the people I was with, her and I were like, yeah, it is. Yes, yes, yes. And then all these other people, yeah, it is that. But after we, you know, figured it out, you know. But it was kind of funny. I knew, you know, when you see a design on the floor that you watched an episode over and over again, you kind of go, yeah, that is both the place. Anyway.
Well, you guys were staying way over in Santa Monica, and we were staying up the the 101 up in by Calabasas up that way with Beth and them. Well, what happened was, it was very interesting because somewhere around Wednesday or Thursday, I got an unexpected gift and a surprise, and was allowed to visit the castle set. I was offered a gift of going down there. So I went down on Thursday, and that was the day Nathan was sick. He's, you know, dealing with what he was going on. So they had to reschedule everything that day. That was March 8th. So they had to reschedule everything. And this is the first time I've ever been asked if I wanted to bring a friend along. Then I had the dilemma of Mary was taking me down to the set. I was staying at Beth's house. And you were with other friends. So I thought, well, and I couldn't just take one friend over the other. So I took Cheryl as my guest. And
yay.
Cheryl was nervous. And I felt that was important because we had worked together on the show. And it wasn't because of the show that we got invited to the set. And no, Stana didn't invite us to the set. It's someone so totally different. It wasn't about Stana Talk Radio. It's a longtime friendship from 20-something years. So it has nothing to do with what we do for Stana Talk Radio. We have to make it very clear because people ask us all the time, you know, all these things. So we're upfront and honest with you. No, Stana. Nothing. No. So I asked if Mary and Beth would be offended. I'm sure, you know, you're happy for your friends, but you also want to be in there too. So we, you know, they were fine, you know. Any other time it had probably been one or the other who's there because Cheryl lives in Kansas. But at this point, I called Cheryl and said, hey, you want to go to the castle set?
What am I going to say? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, and you were like nervous, really freaked out. We're going into their workplace. We're going to stare at them while they're sitting there working. This is really weird, you know. And I'm used to that kind of atmosphere. So to me, I love it. I love the behind the scenes almost as much as watching the actors is how they put the show together, the camera, the props, the everything. That just interests me. I would just love to be like props or just set this, anything like that. That's just awesome. You know?
I really enjoyed it. I just didn't know what to do with myself, you know.
You were very nervous. You sat there like a bump on a log.
Thank you. Well,
you did. You hardly would look up at us. It was just weird.
I know.
And there were some auction winners there. What?
I'm shy, believe it or not.
You're not shy.
I know, but
You were playing Astana. Very shy, looking at the ground all night.
Well, all I kept thinking was, you know, if somebody came to my work and sat in my office and just watched me work, it would be very weird. But you kept telling
Hollywood,
me.
But Hollywood, this is different.
You're used to it. I know.
It's not the same kind of job. It's not like when I was a professional baker, they're going to come in and watch me make donuts and cakes, which they did. We used to have a big window where we were decorating the cakes. People loved to come over and watch you make candy, and so I got to take that back. Yes, people, and you talk to them and joke around and da-da-da-da. But it's expected that people are going to go through there. So anyways, we stayed for only a few hours because right off the bat, Nathan was sick, and it was messed up. The schedule had to be all changed around. It was very quiet. It was kind of nice because none of the big wigs were around. So it was just really relaxing that they're not watching everything you're doing, you know. We just sat there and we talked to these auction winners from Germany. These two nice girls spoke perfect English. And hello, by the way, and I don't know if they want to be mentioned by name, so I won't. But they follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and it's very nice to get to meet you. Yeah. And so we sat there with them for a while. They arrived at the same time with us. After Cheryl loosened up, we walked around a little bit. Seamus came and said hello, and we got to talk to Seamus. And then he was gone for the day. And they were gone, Seamus and Stana, by 3 o'clock-ish, somewhere around there. Stana came in a couple of times and said hello to everybody and the auction winners, and they got to meet them, you know, the auction winners and stuff, because they were Nathan's auction winners. And Nathan was sick, so therefore they had to reschedule, and they got to go again to the set and then to meet Nathan. But unfortunately, they didn't get their pictures taken with Nathan, so that would have been what I would have asked for. He's coming that far, may never see him again. But it was neat, and they were at the Paley Center. And Cheryl, you said you saw them up, and they got some better seats. They were in balcony, and they moved them up to rear orchestra.
I saw them right in front of when they were all saying, like Nathan said, I washed Chuck's car, you know. And when I turned around to look at Chuck, who waved, they were sitting right in front of him and his family.
And what was neat about that is they paid homage to Chuck quite a few times, and that was really neat. And the thing is, the girls, they tweeted me already and said they were back home. It was a whirlwind trip. But they took a bunch of pictures of us, because what we ended up doing after Stana left, because Stana had a really short day, I think, and so did Seamus, so they pretty much, I think, got out of there. They did a scene that we can't tell about. We saw the Limey. Of course, they did these two scenes over and over again, but they moved to another location in another building. doing. So we were out of the precinct and we moved over into another area, and it was just a crime scene. So they stayed a little longer. We had people waiting in the cars waiting for us to get out so we could all go off to the bones panel and dinner and all that stuff. So we left after a couple hours, and it was a lot of fun. We toured. We took the girls around and gave them a tour and took their pictures by the elevators and in the morgue, and talked to the background guys, you know, some of the background people. And we just goofed around and sat in the chairs. Everybody had to sit in Beckett's chair. Everybody had to sit in Captain Gage's chair and all this stuff and be the boss, you know, be the big boss. And then we did the morgue, and there was a dummy in the morgue back in the back. So when the guys were opening the morgue, you know, you kind of jump because there's a body not in there laying, but back there in the back, which was naked. It was really funny, sitting up naked. And then what else did we do? Oh, we took a tour of the set designs. We took a tour of Nathan's loft.
We met the writer of that episode, too.
Yeah, we met Liz Davis. Liz Davis was there writing that episode and posed with pictures for us. Of course, our bud Andrew, Alfred, I'm sorry, I called my bud Andrew. Alfred Soule, he is a sweetheart. And we didn't get
very
into Beckett's
nice
lock because they bolted it shut for security reasons. And so we couldn't. So Cheryl stuck her arm through and took photos through her arm. I already have photos from in there, but it would have been fun to see it because I think it's beautiful. I'd live in there if I could. That's a neater loft, I think, than the castles. I just love that feel of Beckett's loft and when it's all lit up. But we got to take our pictures in there, and the girls sat in Castle's desk chair because big Nathan fans. And it was so dark in there, I didn't dare sit anywhere. I would never find my way out. But I took pictures without a flash with my G11 Canon, and it took awesome shots on the set.
I loved
around.
I loved learning how they went about creating what they did. I mean, he went into detail about how he made the countertop in Castle's
apartment
four weeks.
4 weeks.
Yes, really interesting stuff, believe me.
And then we got to go upstairs and look around at the art departments and stuff like that. We had a lot of fun, and then we said goodbye to the girls. They were still there watching because, you know, they came so far. And, you came far too, but, you know, there was just a crime scene that they were going to shoot. And like I said, we were heading out for dinner and the bones thing, so we had a great time. We want to thank everybody. The cast and crew are wonderful out there at Castle. We'll talk about the scenes we see being filmed when the Limey airs, the one they're filming now, or, you know, I think tomorrow they might start on the Headhunters. But anyways, that was a lot of fun. We want to thank everybody there for making us feel really at home. And we kept teasing Alfred, I always want to call him Andrew, about the cake. We wanted a piece of his cake for the 10,000 followers. But they brought the cake, I think, yesterday, right? So we weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah, I will tell one really, really funny thing after the Limeys aired. I'll tell you guys what I saw. It was so funny. I will say that, yes, I was extremely nervous on the set for, I'd say, the first hour. The second hour, I was better. But the first hour, I didn't know where. You feel like you're sitting in the middle of somebody's work, you know, and you're watching these monitors with the headset on. Pam is so comfortable, you know, walking around like it's no big deal. And for me, it's like
I was going for the food, but there's only junk food, and I'm trying. I've I lost 62 pounds. I'm trying for another 60. It's going to take me another year or so. So I'm off chocolate for tests that I have to do and stuff. And all they had was like M&Ms and da da da. So I went for, and they had milk, Three Musketeers, which is one of my favorites. I had a beeline past it, and I was going for the carrots and that kind of stuff because I was getting lightheaded because I hadn't ate all day. And we didn't sleep either. I got 11 hours sleep in 5 days. Really tired. And so I was looking for the food. Well, they had moved the food over some kind of Chinese stuff, Thai food. And so I was looking for the peanuts and stuff. So I was headed for the background people, the guys in the morgue, because they were all in there eating the good stuff. So
when you
I was wandering off there.
When you went off to do that, I think I had 3 crew guys in a row come up to me and offer me gum. Would you like some gum? I know, thank you. Then the next guy, would you like some gum? I'm like, no, thank you. And then by the fourth time, the guy sitting behind me is like, she doesn't want any gum. It was really funny.
I can't chew gum because like a little kid, I want to swallow it. So I chewed a little bit of it, and then I threw it in the trash. And then I had these chapped lips because it was really windy that day in L.A., and all you guys from Paley will know what I'm talking about. Your hair blew off your head. And my lips were like, you know, they get really chapped where they feel like when you go to the dentist and you feel like your face is swollen up, but you can't, you know, and you're like, you think your lips look like they're like 10 size or normal size, you know.
Yeah.
And if you think of Halloween with the big wax red lips that they used to have when you were a kid and you put those on, that's what my lips felt like. So I was like, where's Sarah? Stana's makeup artist. I'm like, is Sarah here today? Where's Sarah? And her hair guy said, well, she's over there laying in a corner. She's in this blanket, I guess, because it's the end of the day and she's tired. And I'm like, please help me. My face is throbbing. My lips are stinging. It was like dirt bee stings, you know. And I thought, I'm going to go to this thing tonight. And my lips were split. And they looked green, like I had ate like a green popsicle. They were so sore. So she took this stuff, and it immediately took the sting and burnout. I must have thanked her 20 times because I was going to cry. I was getting to the point of crying. It hurt so bad. And, you know, it was just horrible. And I thought, you know, everybody could see that this thing was like, but they can't. You can't see nothing. And it felt like I had Botox lips.
It was very cold. It was very cold in there. I'm glad I brought along a sweater just sitting there. It was freezing. I was very cold.
They were all cold, Cheryl and the other two girls, and I was burning up. I'm always hot. So it was nice. But you were freezing. But you loosened up towards the end, and we took you around. And,
I wanted to stay along. Pam made me leave. No.
I did make us leave because I said, you know, we need to take off. You know, and don't overstay your welcome. You know, there's plenty of time for people that, you know, the auction people were paying big bucks, so we wanted to let them have some time alone. And so anyway, so we went there on Thursday, and then Friday, all of us, we went looking at movie star homes because Beth lives in a community with, like, J-Lo and David on Bones and Patrick Cassidy, and I'm trying to think of Vicki Lawrence and Bo Bridges and all these people. But we just want to look at their homes. I care less about the people. The beautiful homes up there with the horse acreage. Oh, I would love to ride horses where she lives. And she used to have a horse there, and I would have been her best buddy if I could have kept my horse there because you could ride for hours in that place. It's just gorgeous, very quiet, top security in there. They hardly let the residents in there. And we did that, and that was a lot of fun. And Mary loves J-Lo. And I think Britney Spears had the biggest house in the place. It's huge. But it was very beautiful. And by the time we got down to L.A., everybody was looking for us. We were getting calls. Where are you guys? We're in line, you know. Come and talk to us. So by the time we got to Castle Line, we only spent an hour in line. I was gone.
I got there at 6:30 a.m.
You're crazy. I wouldn't stay there for Elvis
dead. I wanted to sit in the front row, so we got there at 6:30, and we still weren't
in the front row, and I got there at 5 almost.
Well,
I wasn't in the center.
You
were closer.
Lucky.
No. And that's another thing. After I left the press, because the show was starting, and they had already were introducing the TV Guide guy, and they told me I couldn't get in there, that it was sold out. And I'm like, I have a ticket. And I said I was in the media room, and they said, I'm sorry, it's sold out. And I'm like, I bought a ticket. It can't be sold out. You can't get my seat. So I get in there, and there's like 5 seats in the front row empty. They just do that.
On the left.
But you left me because I hear Cheryl. We're walking to the parking lot. It's dark. And I'm holding onto her elbow because I'm, you know, the blind, and you trip and fall and run into poles and everything else. So Cheryl's leading me by the elbow. We get to where it's light where I can get adjusted. She opens the door, and boom, she beelines it down to the front row. And I'm left there, and the lady shuts the door, and she says, I'm sorry, we're closed. I'm like, no way, lady. I'm not going through all I went through to not get in there to watch that castle. What?
You started talking to the usher, so I left.
Yeah, because I gave him my ticket. They had to zap it with that thingy, Bob, that key thing, that laser. And I look, and she's gone. She just dumped me and took off because she wanted to get to her seat and leave me there. Lucky they hadn't turned the lights down, or I'd have been in big trouble. I had a flashlight in my pocket. But I argued with the lady, and she said, well, it's sold out. And I said, she goes, are you in the media section? Because the media section was behind Terry Miller and those guys and Chuck Bowman and all those guys. And I said, no, I'm front orchestra. And she says, okay, that's the first 4 rows. So I come down, and I finally see Cheryl. I'm bebopping down there. And I said, I look at Cheryl, and I said, is there any seats anywhere? Because I can't see. And she says, no. And that was it. And I was like, fin for yourself, chick. So little old me looks over to the left, and there's some seats, and there was a really nice lady there that helped me into my seat because Cheryl abandoned me.
That is so not true. That
yes,
is
was.
So
and then immediately the lights went down. So I just got in time to watch the episode of A Dance with Death.
Woe is me.
It was right, because usually I'll be falling. My sisters and brothers used to ditch me out in the theater and hide from me and then throw popcorn at me. And one of my sisters, my sister Donna, was the older sister. She would feel sorry for me and come get me because I couldn't see and I'd be falling around all over. They just thought that was so funny. Kids are mean. And I still do that to this day. I can't see until I get the lights kind of adjust. But we also have another interview for you, because we're rambling, is we have an interview with executive producer Rob Bowman, which we did get a little bit more time. He was being interviewed with some other people. I think it was Firefly and some other people, and he didn't see me yet because I was on the other side. And in the middle of his interview, he goes, "Hi, Pam." So it was
really
sweet.
In the middle. It was
and
funny.
Then Terry said it, but I didn't hear Terry. So that was kind of nice to get to say hi to them because they're so busy and they're always gone. And so he came over and did an interview over to the side with us so we could actually hear. You'll hear what he says. It's a small, it's nothing important and nothing, but it was a lot of fun because he actually was supposed to be up on stage and they shorted a chair. And there's so many X-File people that wanted to see him there that were in line, all excited that Rob Bowman was there. And they shorted a seat, and he was not allowed up there. And I think the reason they didn't just throw a seat up there is because of the microphone shortage and maybe how they're seated and the lighting. But I would think they could just put a chair up there and make the TV guy stand or something. I think an executive producer is very important, you know, and a director. And a big director and executive producer that he was left out. And I think that's kind of disappointing for the fans because, you know, he should have been up there, I think. Don't you guys? But
they all think that I'm really mean. They think I went off and left you floundering.
You did.
And that
you
is
actually
so not
did.
True.
And I was like, Cheryl, and I turned around and you were gone. You were gone. You just left me. And you know you did. And payback. You did too, Cheryl. You were already in your seat before I even got the door open. And I was embarrassed because I could not find where I was supposed to go. But I'm just giving you a hard time. But anyway, it is hard because,
they all want to beat me up now. So
I thought for sure that you were going to at least drag me to a seat before you went off. But of course, Mary and Beth took care of me the night before, and Mia and those guys, and made sure I had a seat to see what I was doing. But that's real friends. No. So anyways, we're going to set up your thing with Rob. We're going to talk to Rob. He had come through with Andrew Marlowe, and who else was up there? Andrew, Rob, Terry, was it Lori Sachs, and another, the tall guy, was that David? The producers, they were all in a picture line, and then they came by us, and Rob stopped to talk to the riffraff room, which was really sweet. Yeah. He talked to the castle lady and one of the Firefly, what'd you call them, Whedon groups? Whedon?
Yeah.
Then he came over and talked to us, so we were really happy to have him because he took a lot of time to really kind of have some fun with us, and you'll see it's not, you know, really serious questions. So here we go.
Bob, can I ask you some over here? Because I can't hear you. I can't hear a thing you're saying.
Okay.
So are you going to direct season 4's finale?
Yes, I am.
And do we have any surprises coming up?
Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be like a feature film again, like you did last year with Knockout?
Oh, well, I hope so. I think it's going to be big, and I think it's going to have a lot of dynamics. Played out, the interpersonal dynamics played out. I think there's going to be some very memorable moments in that finale. I know that's not saying much, but I think there's going to be some shock.
Great. And is Andrew going to write the finale?
He better, or I'm not going to direct it.
Okay, and how many are you going to do next season? How many are you going to direct?
Probably,
do you know?
Probably 4.
4?
Yeah, that seems to be, you know, in terms of getting my job done. 4 is about the max. That's the worst.
Now, are you going to give us any spoilers soon tonight, even? Any spoilers? Small? Surprises?
No.
And then I want to ask you, what do you have on your agenda this summer? Are you going to try to get some rest, go on a vacation? You got to start in?
I am going to rest, exercise, and try to get some perspective on the whole thing so I come back fresh next year.
Have you ever thought of writing an episode? Do you have writing experience for that?
I've never written a screenplay for television, but I don't know if I have time to do it. Andrew is very good at keeping me busy.
Now, we just interviewed Tricia Holleran.
Yeah.
Has it Holleran? Holleran.
Yeah.
And Robert Duncan. So
yeah.
Are you going to give us some fun music for next season? You going to work with them to give us some...
First of all, as you may know, Trish is the smartest person on the set by a long way, and we have yet to find Robert Duncan's boundaries. So it's like whatever we throw at him, he seems like that's the one thing he does best. He's in all kinds of different genres.
Now, is there any chance for a music CD for just Castle licensed music to come out between Robert Duncan and the licensed music, besides the board games?
Anything possible? Yes, absolutely.
Now, do you have anything to say to the fans out there for being here tonight and coming in from around the world?
This kind of stuff, you know, because we live sort of in our workshops all the time, and we come out and we see people standing around the block waiting to see us, is kind of a surreal part of the business. But we're really excited to be here, and to have this kind of fans is... it doesn't happen a lot in a career, so we're excited.
They came in from Italy today, United Kingdom, Australia, Germany. Yesterday, they came in from Germany, all over, France, Russia, just for this little night right here, and to hope to see
people circling around all these
people. Oh, yeah.
But I want to thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Cut them off. My pleasure.
Sorry.
But, you know, you have me sound like I'm lisping, you know? Could you guys hear that? It sounds like I have a lisp, you know? And it's
you
not,
do.
It's
you
the
do,
tape.
Yeah.
The way we had to get these to each other, we had to do Skype to Skype. It took like an hour for each video to go through because these were actually video, and then Cheryl had her microphone set up. But it was so hard to hear, and I'm sure you guys are having a really hard time. You can't hardly even concentrate. They had us way too close together, which a lot of places you're not that close together that you can actually get your thoughts together. It was like Rob was like his eyes were darting everywhere because everybody, you can't understand what you're saying. He couldn't think of what he was saying. We couldn't think of what we were saying. So you just talk. It's pretty much not really the place for an interview, but it's great that he stopped by, and it was a lot of fun to see him there. And like I said, he didn't get to be up there and say anything, and he really wanted to be up there. So it was our way of kind of giving him a chance to say something to the fans out there.
By the way, on the earlier